Thank you, Mrs. Garner. And boy, we have had a song service just filled with truth today. I mean, filled with truth. So on the preaching, I'm just going to try to throw a little gas on the fire that's already been started, all right? Because I'm telling you, the song service, that's good. And boy, do people need the Lord. Now, some people don't think they do. Well, boy, I'll tell you one thing, if they ever find Him, if they ever answer His call to salvation, I promise you, they realize, boy, where has He been all my life? I've needed this right here all my life. And thank God for the song service this morning. Thank God for you being here this morning. And let's ask God to meet with us. So take your Bible, if you would, please, and find your place in 1 Samuel chapter number 4. 1 Samuel chapter number 4. If you'll stand with me as we read the Word of God, we're going to read the first five verses, then we'll read verse 10 and 11, then we'll read verses 19 through 22 of 1 Samuel chapter 4, so you can kind of get a grip on the entire story. 1 Samuel chapter 4, beginning in verse number 1. And the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Now Israel went out against the Philistines to battle and pitched beside Ebenezer, and the Philistines pitched in Aphek. And the Philistines put themselves in array against Israel, and when they joined battle, Israel was smitten before the Philistines, and they slew the army in the field, about 4,000 men. And when the people were come into the camp, the elders of Israel said, "Wherefore hath the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines?" Now, it dawns on somebody here, and they said, I know what we'll do. I know what we'll try to do to circumvent the judgment of God. What we'll do is, let us fetch the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us, that when it cometh among us, it may save us out of the hand of our enemies. Because surely, if the Ark is among us, we shall win. Well, let's see what happens. The scripture then says, so the people sent to Shiloh that they might bring forth or bring from thence the ark of the covenant of the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth between the cherubims. The two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the ark of the covenant of God. Now I want you to notice, when the ark is moved from Shiloh into the camp, notice what happens. And when the ark of the covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted with a great shout, so that the earth rang again. Now I want you to skip down, if you would, and look at verse number 10. Now remember, here's what they thought. We bring the ark of the covenant among us, we're going to whip these Philistines. God's going to be with us. God, we're going to go out there, we're going to win the battle. Well, the Philistines didn't back down. Verse number 10, and the Philistines fought, and Israel was smitten. And they fled every man into his tent, and there was a very great slaughter, for there fell of Israel 30,000 footmen. And the ark of God was taken. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain. Go to verse 19. And his daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, speaking of Eli, his son Phinehas, Phinehas' wife was with child near to be delivered. And when she heard the tidings that the ark of God was taken, and that her father-in-law, that's Eli, and her husband, that's Phinehas, were dead, she bowed herself and travailed, for her pains came upon her. And about the time of her death, the woman that stood by her said unto her, fear not, for thou hast borne a son. But she answered not, neither did she regard it. And she named, speaking of the woman, she named the child Ichabod, saying, the glory is departed from Israel, because the ark of God was taken, and because of her father-in-law and her husband. And she said, the glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of God is taken. I want to take these verses that we've read this morning, and I want to talk to you this morning on this particular subject, the short distance between Shiloh and Ichabod. The short distance between Shiloh and Ichabod. Father, meet with us. Let this story jump off the pages of the Bible into our hearts this morning, that we might be able to grab the truth that is presented here, and that it might be used, Lord, to stir us in the area of our lives where we need to give attention. We'll certainly give you the glory for what you should do now in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. There's a very short distance between Arlington, Texas and Dallas, Texas. A matter of fact, you go right out here, not too far down the highway here, and you'll find a sign that says about 15 miles to Dallas if you're going from Arlington going east into Dallas, Texas. And since it's only about 15 miles that separate the two cities, that's a very short distance. But would everybody agree with me this morning that there's a big difference between Arlington, Texas and Dallas, Texas? Big difference. Now, there's a short distance between the two, but there's a big difference in the size of the city. There's a big difference in the population, the business, the traffic, the crime. Big difference between the two cities. Because of their great differences, that's the reason a lot of people move to the suburbs or the burgs, right? It's the reason a lot of people move out of the big city, because of all of the things that is brought by the big city life. But may I say to you, although the differences are great, the distance between here and Dallas is very short. It doesn't take long to realize when you're out of Arlington and you move into the big city of Dallas, things have changed. Things are bigger. More businesses, more people, more crime, more traffic, more everything. But you know, it's just a little short distance between the two. Now I want to use that illustration to relate to you the story that we've read this morning. Israel is battling their fiercest enemy, the Philistines. They've battled them for a long time. And here in this case, because of their disobedience and because of their desires for their own selves rather than the things of God, God now has brought their enemy upon them and has smitten them. This first case, 4,000 lost their lives. Well, as they're conversing here and they're thinking, okay, what can we do to beat our enemy? Somebody raised their hand. Yeah, you got an idea? Yeah, I got an idea. If we go get the Ark of the Covenant and bring it into the camp, surely that's going to make the difference. And God will give us the victory. Everybody looked around and said, yeah. Yeah, it's a good idea. We didn't think about that. So you know what they do? They go to Shiloh, by the way, the house of God, the place of God, the dwelling place of God. You see, Shiloh was where the Ark of the Covenant was. This is where the ministry before God was taking place, in Shiloh, the place of peace. They said, surely, if we go get the most precious thing to us and bring it among us, God will honor us and we'll whip them Philistines. So everybody was on board with it. So you know what they do? They go get the Ark. They bring it into the camp. They look around and say, surely we're going to go out this time. We're going to win this battle. Well, guess what, folks? The Philistines didn't back down. And may I say to you, hey, they weren't impressed with that Ark. And can I say to you, the world's not impressed with your God. Because if they were impressed, the church house would be filled, wouldn't it? Hey, they're not impressed with our preaching. They're not impressed with the Word of God. They're not impressed with the God who split the Red Sea, who brought the children of Israel out of captivity, the one who raised the dead and made the blind to see again. They don't care about Him. If they were, they'd be here. They'd be asking questions. Hey, the Philistines, they didn't back down. So what? You've got the Ark of God. Now, they were a little bit afraid. They said, oh, God's come down among them. What are we going to do? They said, well, you know what? We're just going to go out against them, and we're going to fight against them. And they did. And guess what happened? The Philistines smote them again, and this time they took the Ark. And now the holy thing of God, the Ark of God, was among the heathen. Now, church, what I want to say to you this morning is simply this. It's a short distance between Shiloh and Ichabod. We find in Scripture that Israel thought by bringing the Ark of God into the camp that it meant instant victory. May I stop and say this to you, those of you that are new in the Lord, just because you got saved and you've been born into the family of God and you may have come and you've been baptized, may I say to you, that does not mean that because you've been saved and baptized that the world and the devil and the flesh are going to leave you alone. It's not going to happen. But Israel thought, if I just bring the Ark into the camp, we'll win the victory. You see, just because salvation comes doesn't mean that our whole life's going to be a bed of roses. That everything's going to be smooth and we're not going to have any more problems. You see, Israel thought they were going to hide behind the Ark of God. You see, the problem Israel had is they kept addressing the symptoms and refused to address the problem. You see, isn't that kind of the case in most of our lives? Instead of getting right with God and repenting before God and getting right with Him and giving Him our heart, our soul, our mind, and our life, we treat the symptoms for years. So how do you know that? Well, because people come to church and they lose themselves in the crowd. I meet them all the time out door knocking. I mean, just like you do. How many times have you knocked someone's door and they said, oh, I'm glad you came by. I got so many problems. I need to go to church. Right? Because what they, in their mind, they're thinking that if I go to church, that's going to cure some of my problems. So I'll go to church and I'll lose myself among the congregation and I will get what I need. I will get the medicine that I need to cure all of my problems. Now listen to me, folks. I'm not against you coming to church. I'm not against all of that. But may I say to you that if all you do is come to church, lose yourself in the crowd, you do nothing about it, you're the same as when you came in. You're treating the symptoms, not the problem. The problem's a heart problem. The problem's a spiritual problem. You say, where do I get help for that? Right here. Right here. Do you know most of the decisions that I've made for God, you know where I made them? Right here. Do you know most of the times when I got right with God, you know where I got right? Right here. You see, Israel thought, we'll just bring the Ark, we'll hide behind it, just like so many are hiding behind the church.
right? They hide behind the church. They hide behind church services. They come and lose themselves in the crowd. Church is good and right, but one church service is not going to be the complete answer to our problems. You see, folks, we need to stop treating the symptoms and start addressing the problems. Now, in our story, Shiloh was the place of God, the house of God. Shiloh was the place and presence of Almighty God. That's where God dwelt. That's where the Lord appeared and spoke to Samuel. That's where the people reverenced God and respected Him. That's where the peace of God dwelt. That's where the power of God dwelt. That's where the man of God dwelt, was at Shiloh, and spoke on behalf of the Lord God. But can I say to you that just as quickly as we look at Shiloh, we also have to look at the end of the chapter at Ichabod. You see, Ichabod is the absence of God's presence. Ichabod's the place of misery in a believer's life. Ichabod is a place of judgment in a believer's life. Ichabod's the place of captivity to the will of sin. It's the place of selfishness, a lack of serving, and stealing from God. You see, Ichabod's the place of apathy. It's the place of irresponsibility. And it's the place of blame. It's everybody's fault but ours, right? You know why? You know what? When a person does that, you know where they're living? They're living in Ichabod. They're living without the presence of God. You see, Ichabod's a place that no individual, and may I say, no church ever wants to visit. Because it's a place outside the presence of God. And may I say to you, though, yet the difference and the distance between Shiloh and the presence of God and Ichabod, the absence of the presence of God, is just a short distance. Do you ever wonder how a church can be living in Shiloh 1 year and be in Ichabod the next year? Have you ever wondered how a believer that is strong in the Lord, active in soul winning, active in their service for God, maybe even preach a little bit, they can be in Shiloh one day and Ichabod the next? You say, how does all this happen? How can it go from Shiloh, the presence and the peace of God and the blessings of God, to Ichabod, the absence of the presence of God? How can it happen so quick? Well, I believe the answer is given to us in verse 21 of 1 Samuel chapter 4. Would you look there with me? It's given to us by an unknown woman who stood by the bedside of Phinehas' wife who died in childbirth. Here's the reasons that she gave in verse 21. Remember now, the people of God are shouting one minute, and the next minute they're in captivity in the ark taken. They're in Shiloh one minute, Ichabod the next minute. You ever been there? You ever come to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and you shout and say, "Glory to God! Boy, that was good preaching, preacher! Man, a lot of that was good!" And we go home, and it's like nothing ever happened. And we wake up on Monday morning, and we step right back into Ichabod. Well, we're on Shiloh. We're in Shiloh when it comes to Sunday morning and Sunday night. But folks, you know what God wants you to do? He wants you to keep that shout past Sunday. He wants you to keep that shout on Monday through Saturday as well. When we don't, when we lose our shout, it's just a short distance from Shiloh to Ichabod. Let me give you the three reasons this woman gave us. Here's what she said. And she named the child Ichabod, saying, "The glory has departed from Israel because..." Here's the three reasons she gave that the glory had departed. She said the ark of God was taken, and because of her father-in-law, that's Phinehas' father-in-law, that's Eli, and her husband, Phinehas. So here's the three reasons. Ark's gone, preacher's gone, husband's gone. You know what the common denominator of all three of those are? They're gone. Absent. Nowhere to be found. And guess where that left the people of God? Without the ark without a preacher and without this woman, without a husband. So this little boy was going to be raised without a daddy, without a mama. And so this woman names this little boy Ichabod. The spirit or the glory of God has departed. So I want to take these three things and I want to analyze them and I want to make some applications this morning to them and give you a picture of what I believe these three things represent to us today in the local New Testament church. So take your Bible, if you would, go to Ephesians chapter number 4. Go to Ephesians chapter number 4 in the New Testament. Ephesians 4 and verse number 30. Ephesians 4 and verse number 30. Now remember, here's what she said. Here's the reason the glory of the Lord has departed. Israel, ark's gone, preacher's gone, husband's gone. Now how can we apply that to us today? Well, first of all, let's take a look at the first thing she said, the ark's taken. The ark's gone. The most precious thing of God is gone. Can I ask you this? When God saved you, did not the Holy Spirit of God come in you? Is that right? And the Holy Spirit of God in you, here's what He said He'd do. He would guide, He would teach, and He would bring all things to your remembrance. Now, the Spirit of God lives in us. And yet here we find in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 30, I think we might find the answer to how we can apply the ark being taken to us today in the local New Testament church. Ephesians 4 and verse 30. The Scripture says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption." Circle that word, grieve. That means to resist. That means to quiet. That means to steal, is what that word means. We find over in the book of Thessalonians, we find also there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it talks about quench not the Spirit of God. So I think, first of all, if we'll take a look this morning, I think we will find that the Ark of the Covenant being taken away and the Spirit of God departed, I think the application that we can make to that this morning is we find here in Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Grieve not. Why was the ark taken to begin with? It was taken because of the people of God, their disobedience. The ark was taken, the ark departed. You know why the presence of God will depart from us individually and as a church? If we grieve the Holy Spirit of God. You say, well, all right, preacher, need some information. Tell me what grieves the Holy Spirit. Well, we got to go back and read the previous verses to this to find out what grieves Him. And then let's find out if we as individuals are participating in any of this. And if we are, maybe we might be on to something here of why God is not using us or blessing us individually like we need to be blessed or as a church as we need to. So, slip back, if you would, to verse number 25. Verse number 25. Here's some of the things that grieve the Holy Spirit. Paul says, "Wherefore, putting away lying." You say, but, you know, maybe sometime, preacher, the situation calls for a little white lie. There ain't no such thing as a white lie. Maybe, preacher, the situation calls for me not to be totally upfront. Maybe I can only tell part of the truth. That's lying. It's either the whole truth or it's not the truth. Now, folks, I know this seems real simplistic, but you want to grieve the Holy Spirit of God? Be a liar. Is that not what it says? Be a liar. Lie. For your own benefit, whether you lie to your boss, whether you lie to your family, whether you lie to your spouse, whether you lie to your children, doesn't matter. You want to grieve the Spirit of God? Be a liar. Now, folks, if we want to admit it, whether we want to admit it or not, you know, most of us, when it comes to things like this, we get caught up in this situational ethics. If the situation dictates a lie, God understands. He don't understand, I'm sorry. He does not understand. Matter of fact, if you want to find out what God thinks about it, go to Proverbs chapter 6, and he talks about a lying tongue being abomination. He hates it. Now, folks, I don't know about you, but so many of us, we do things like this, we don't even think anything about it. Here's what we do. We lie, and instead of repenting of it, getting it right, and go to the person that we lied to and ask them to forgive us for lying, here's what we do. We come to the altar, we say, Lord, you know what? Golly, man, I messed up. I lied to that person. Forgive me. Amen. You know what God's saying in heaven? Boy, you know what? That's not the way we get right about those kind of things. The way that we get right about those kind of things, you're going to have to go to the person that you lied to and tell them you lied. Yeah, I don't think I can do that. Grieve the Holy Spirit then. And you know what? Just go ahead and write Ichabod over your house. Amen. Isn't this good? Hey, I'm just telling you that, listen, the ark of God left. It was taken away because of the disobedience of the people of God. Hey, it's just a short distance. We can shout today. We can lie tomorrow. Listen, we can be in Shiloh this morning. We can be in Ichabod tomorrow. Just lie. Boy, it gets even better. Look at this. He says, wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Listen to this. Be ye angry and sin not. You want to grieve the Holy Spirit? Be a bad attitude Baptist. Anger. Now, folks, you know, it's okay in Scripture for us to be angry, but it says be angry and sin not. Hey, Jesus kicked over a few tables in his day, didn't he? Hey, he took a whip after some people, right? But here, this is anger without a cause. This is like, guys, you know how we got to go out and we play a little ball and basketball? This is like punching somebody in the nose because they foul you. Or you go out and play tackle football and somebody tackles you, it's a clean tackle, you get up and kick them. Or you get up in their face, I'm going to nail you, I'm going to break your leg. That's anger without a cause. You know what that does? Grieves the Holy Spirit of God. Lying. Anger. Let's move on. Boy, it gets even better. Neither give place to the devil. Neither give place to the devil. That means in my life, if Jesus is occupying a place in my life, I'm not to give that place up to anybody. And giving place may be allowing pride to sneak in, or arrogance to sneak in, or superiority to sneak in. He says, you want to grieve the Holy Spirit of God? Don't give place to the devil. You won't grieve him. You do give place, you grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Let's keep reading. Let him that stole steal no more. You don't grieve the Holy Spirit? Lie. Anger without a cause. Giving place to the devil. Stealing. So, boy, I'm clean on that one, preacher. I ain't ever stole anything. Well, you may not have ever stole anything from men, but have you stole anything from God? Right? See, we think if somebody doesn't catch us or nobody sees us, then we're okay. But yet God sees everything. You say, tell me then, preacher, what have I stolen from God? Well, you're stealing his tithe. I told you, man, this is good, isn't it? This is good stuff. Hey, I'm just trying to help you. You're going to grieve the Holy Spirit of God? You want to live in Ichabod? Steal from God. Steal from God. That ark will be out and be gone in a heartbeat. The presence of God will be gone from you in a heartbeat. You say, but I thought I was saved. You are, but then the power of God is not going to be on your life. The blessings of God will not be on your life. You say, well, I'm not stealing tithe. I'm giving my tithe. All right, what about talents? What about gifts and talents that God's given you to serve? Now, I've said this many times. Maybe you're here and you play an instrument. You say, I'm not going to play in that orchestra. Maybe you have a CDL license and you can drive a bus. I'm not going to drive no bus. I'm just saying. You want to greet? Listen, I don't know about you folks. I don't like Ichabod. I don't like being there. Never have liked being there. I like Shiloh a whole lot better, don't you? So you know what I got to do? I got to cut these things out. Hey, let me give you some just practical advice. Cut it out. Right? Just cut it out. And I promise you, what you'll find is the blessings of God will return upon your life. So, well, I ain't stealing tithe and I ain't stealing talents. What about time? What about devotional time or time in your Bible or time on your knees or time in the church? What about attendance? What about just if we just show up from time to time to get our little fix of religion, right? I'm just asking. Hey, you know why the Ark of God departed from Israel? Their disobedience. And I think we can apply that to us today. Grieve the Holy Spirit. Let me give you one more real quick here and we got to move on. And then verse 29, he says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Criticism, gossip. You want to grieve the Holy Spirit? Hey, you want to stop the teaching process or the learning process? Grieve Him. You want to stop the following process? Grieve Him. Remember, I told you, He's a guide, He's a teacher, and He brings all things to remembrance. You know why so many people struggle with their salvation? I'm talking about they're always, three, four, five times a year, just struggle with being saved and struggle with, how do I know I'm saved? And boy, I just went off the end over here, preacher. I went over. Why do they struggle? It's because they're not living in Shiloh. They're over in Ichabod. And that brings doubt. You see, the learning process stops. The following process, the producing process stops. The fellowshipping process stops. And the fighting process stops. We just stop fighting the flesh and seeing the world. And we just send a little white flag up. It's over. Doesn't have to be. Lying, anger, stealing, giving place to the devil, corrupt communication, on and on and on. I'm just saying, the reason the ark left the people of God, they thought they could hide behind it, just like we think we can just come to church, mingle in church, and just hide behind the services, hide behind the church. Folks, that's not going to get anything right. What's going to get right is if we decide to make it right in our life. Look at the second thing that she said quickly. Remember, she said, the ark is taken. And she said, because of the father-in-law. That was Eli. Now let me make the application quickly here and I'll move on about Eli. I believe in this case, Eli, just like the ark being removed, represents to us today grieving the Holy Spirit of God. I think number two, with Eli's death, and she said, that's one of the reasons right there that the Spirit of God has departed. Ark is gone, the father-in-law, I think that is just like grieving the Holy Spirit of God, I think Eli represents neglect of the things of God. Neglect. When we neglect the things of God, what happens is it comes in waves, folks. And when the spirit of the service dies, you know why it dies? It dies because of neglect. When the spirit of soul winning dies, you know why it dies? It dies because of neglect. When the spirit of shame dies, it dies because of neglect. You know why the altars of Trinity Baptist Church are not filled on a regular basis? You know why people don't come weeping in repentance before God? You know why people don't come weeping to get their sin right, confess it before God, and surrender themselves to the Lord? Let me tell you why. Because there's no shame anymore. No shame. Just no shame anymore. You know why? It's neglect. We neglect our relationship with God. When the spirit of shame dies, when the spirit of seeking dies. You say, what does that mean, preacher? That means this. Do we have people? Do the people of God seek the will of God? Say, how can I tell what the will of God is. Let me give you a simple formula, right? Here it is. Need plus compassion plus opportunity. You know what you'll do? You'll find the will of God. Is there a need? Yes, there is. Who's going to have compassion? It's going to have to be the people of God. Then you know what God will do? He'll open opportunity for you. That's how you find the will of God. And so when the spirit of seeking dies and when the spirit of submission dies, you see, when the spirit of submission dies to His Word as all authority, that's all I have right there, folks, is the authority. The only authority I have to say what I'm saying, it comes from that book right there. That's it. And I'm just reading it to you. You see, neglect. Eli neglected the things of God. He neglected his two boys. We don't have time to go read it, but you go read about Hophni and Phinehas. They weren't the most upstanding Christian or upstanding people in the world. And yet they were hiding behind religion. Now I'm just here to tell you, neglect can move you from shallow to Ichabod. Now the interesting of the three is the last one that she mentioned. Remember she said the ark of God, the glory of God, it's Ichabod. The reason that it's Ichabod is the ark is taken because of the father-in-law. And then the interesting one is she mentioned, and her husband. Now, the interesting thing about this, you're going to have to go back to 1 Samuel 2 real quick. Let me read you something. Let me wrap this up. Okay, 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2. And verse number 12. 1 Samuel 2 and verse number 12. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. Circle that word Belial. Draw an arrow out to the margin of your Bible. Write the word devil. They were sons of the devil. They knew not the Lord. Now the interesting thing is, she says, let me tell you the problem we have here. The problem is we've got, ark is gone. Today we can apply that by grieving the Holy Spirit of God. Father-in-law's gone, that's Eli. Neglect, we've neglected the things of God. And the Spirit of God can depart. We can be in Ichabod tomorrow. But the amazing thing, she mentions Phinehas, who was not even a believer. And the third thing I want to bring to your attention is I want to address those today that may not know the Lord. And that is resisting the gift of God. You see, Phinehas, like so many, try to hide behind religion. They try to hide behind their heritage. By the way, hey, did not Hophni and Phinehas? They were sons of the preacher, right? They were sons of the number one guy in the land that was supposed to have contact with God. They were the sons of Eli. Do you know what they tried to do? They tried to hide behind their religion. They tried to hide behind their heritage. Just like some, well, I've always been saved. You ever heard people say that? Well, I've always been saved. I was born in the home of a Baptist preacher. I was born in the home of my mom and dad. They went to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I've always been saved. No, you haven't. You see, some try to hide behind their heritage. Some try to hide behind their freedom to choose. Well, that's my choice, preacher. If I want to choose to be saved, I'll choose to be saved. You can't make me. Nobody's trying to make you. I'm just telling you the benefits. Phinehas had all the religion he could have. Hey, he was raised in the home of the preacher. He tried to hide behind the freedom to choose. By the way, did Hophni and Phinehas always make the right choices? Matter of fact, almost all their choices were bad. You see, he tried to hide behind the fact that one day, I might decide to trust Christ. You see, I think Hophni and Phinehas lived on the hope of another day. Now, I'm just saying to you, the Spirit of God departed, and it'll depart from you, it'll depart from the church, if we grieve the Holy Spirit of God. It'll depart, we can live in Shiloh today and in Ichabod tomorrow if we neglect the things of God. You say, but Preacher, that last one, I'm not sure I'm clear on this. How is the Spirit of God going to depart from those who resist the gift of God? Let me read you a verse in conclusion. Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 27 says this, "And it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." May I say to you, if you walk out these doors today and you meet an eternity without God, there is no second chance. God's not going to come pursuing you in the grave. Once you breathe your last breath of life, your decision about Christ is final. But until then, you know what He's doing? He's persistent. He's after your soul. And listen, at least there's a God in heaven that's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's going to stay after you and stay after you and stay after you. But the day you die, the Spirit and the presence and the pursuit of God will depart from you. And one day you'll hear these awful words, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity, for I never knew you." It's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. You see, it's just a short distance, Christian, from Shiloh to Ichabod. In your personal life, us collectively as a church, and Christianity in general, by grieving the Spirit of God and neglecting the things of God. But may I say to you, if you're here this morning and you don't know Christ, it's a short distance between your pew and an eternity without God. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. How many would say this morning, "Preacher, I know..."